I'm Diana from KCAP, which stands for Korean Cultural Alliance for Palestine.
And hi, I'm Jane. I'm a colleague of Diana's, and I'm also a member of the Korean Cultural Alliance for Palestine.
And I'm Hannah with BDS Korea and Films for Freedom. In addition to the work we do in these organizations, all of us are translators. And so as translators, we wanted to share an important moment of cultural solidarity through translation from the 80s between Korea and Palestine. So we'll read selected excerpts from Ghassan Kanafani's Returning to Haifa adaptation as a Korean play by Tobagi.
Yeah, and before we get into an introduction of Tobagi and this adaptation, just a quick recap on what Returning to Haifa is. I'm sure most of you know, but Returning to Haifa is a novella by Palestinian writer and journalist Ghassan Kanafani. It was first published in 1969 and revolves around a couple who returns to Haifa after 20 years to look for their baby, whom they were forced to leave behind in the 1948 war.
Right, Returning to Haifa, the novella, was first translated into Korean in 1979. It was adapted into a play by the theater troupe Tobagi in 1985. So Tobagi is a Minjung theater troupe based in Gwangju, Korea. Minjung in Korean means the people or the masses, and it was a movement that emerged in the 1970s and 80s as part of Korea's struggle for democracy. Tobagi was founded by the playwright Park Hyo-sun in 1983. Park was interested in labor movements and farmers' rights and was heavily involved in the Gwangju uprising. Park was also a leading figure of madanggeuk, a form of theater that is heavily influenced by Korean traditional folk art such as pansori and pungmul. So he was a playwright who intentionally centered Korean traditions instead of following Western traditions of theater. Tobagi was also one of the first people's theater groups to dramatize the Gwangju uprising with their 1988 production of Kumi-ye Ol, also known as Kumi's May.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add here that there's a Korean historian called Hayana Kim, who has written extensively about Minjung theater and its connection to political movements in Korea. And in one paper, she specifically talks about Tobagi and the role theater played in facilitating democracy. And she examines theater as a space of intervention that challenges the grief and memory that the state attempts to suppress. And she further characterizes the work of Tobagi and this play, Kumi-ye Ol, specifically as examples where those deaths, which state-sanctioned archives obliterate, arise into communal memories, unquote. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring this up because I think it's worth thinking about the significance of bringing Returning to Haifa to the Korean audience, particularly in the 80s when the people of Gwangju resisted martial law. Mm-hmm. And thinking of this in relation to whose stories are being erased and suppressed, whose grief and death is being centered, and why this adaptation play remains so near and dear to Park Hyo-sun throughout the years.
Mm. That's an excellent point. And I think there are many historical parallels between Korea and Palestine that sometimes are overlooked. Japanese colonization, the dynamics of the Korean War, and the continued U.S. military presence on the peninsula reflect similar agents of imperial desires at play. So Korean independence fighters during colonization, as well as democracy activists in Gwangju, were wrongfully branded as terrorists for years before they were vindicated by history, which is a reality that Palestinian freedom fighters continue to face today.
Yeah, now let's get into Returning to Haifa. As I mentioned earlier, Returning to Haifa, the novella, was first translated into Korean in 1979. Park Hyo-sun first read the Korean translation when it was published and was very moved by it. He wanted to adapt it into a play for many years and finally did it in March 1985, which is nearly exactly 40 years ago.
Yeah, and we came across the play adaptation archived in a book compiling some of Park's seminal plays. And in the introduction, Park mentions that in the brochure for the 1989 staging of Returning to Haifa, they included this line. Quote, 이웃과 벗들이 하나둘씩 사라져가는 이 흉흉한 기시에 사실 이 작품이 무슨 의미가 있는지 자꾸 되새겨졌다. 하지만 팔레스타인의 비극은 결코 남의 이야기가 아닌 걸 어떡하랴. Unquote. In English, it says, quote, I kept reminding myself what this work actually means in this horrific time when neighbors and friends are disappearing one by one. the tragedy of Palestine is not someone else's story, unquote. And I just quickly wanted to bring up this quote because I do think it also encapsulates why we wanted to read parts of the play here today.
Yes. And we'll talk more about notable adaptation choices Park made throughout, but just to provide a brief overview first, Park mentions how he wanted to adapt the script but wasn't sure how or where to begin. And he felt like the only part that could be adapted as a traditional play was the scene where Said and Safiya returned to their home in Haifa, but that wouldn't be sufficient. So he realized he couldn't focus solely on the plot of the novella, so he adds more backstory to some of the characters, for example, by giving more stage presence to Khalid's character, or beginning with Said and Safiya's day in a refugee camp. So shall we get into some of the excerpts?
Yes. I think right from the start, I was personally drawn to these lines that were labeled under sori, which means sound in Korean. But I think maybe I can read the excerpt first and then explain what the sori dialogues are. 밤에 베일이 바다에 내리기 시작했다. 부두까지 밀려온 소피아는 두 번 다시 남편을 보지 못하고 그의 품에 안길 수 있는 기회도 영원히 없어질지 모른다고 생각했다. 침대 위에 남겨두고 온 젖먹이 아들을 생각하자 칼 끝으로 찌르는 듯한 슬픔이 그녀를 사로잡았다. 그때 소피아는 꿈속에서인 듯 들려오는 자기 이름을 부르는 소리를 들었다. 갑자기 힘센 견고한 손이 그녀의 팔을 움켜잡았다. 그녀는 남편의 눈을 보았다. 그리고 마치 아무 쓸모없는 걸레 쪽처럼 그의 어깨에 마비된 몸을 의지했다. 사람들의 물결이 두 사람을 둘러싸고 이리저리 떠밀면서 그들을 작은 배에 실었다. 그러나 두 사람은 아직 아무것도 느낄 수가 없었다. 배전에 튀어오르는 희고찬 물보라에 몸이 젖었을 때 두 사람은 눈물과 어둠 속에서 멀어져가는 하이파를 보고 있었다.
So what I just read was a flashback scene in the story to April 1948 when Said and Safiya were forced to flee Haifa due to Israeli attacks. And so sori, or sound, isn't an actual character on stage, but can be understood as narration, maybe. And Park explains that he included these sori lines as a natural way to bridge the novel and the play without disrupting the flow too much. And the scene of being forced, this very like viscerally descriptive scene of being forced out of their home and land appears in the original text as well. And I think Park's decision to include this scene the way the novel did shows just how much Park really loved Kanafani's writing style and wanted to find a way to incorporate them. I also think the sori dialogues are a unique adaptation choice because in conventional theater plays, I would assume that these scenes would be acted out. Like, for example, you would see Said or Safiya getting on a boat, but here it's narrated.
I also want to mention just how beautiful the writing is. The first line, 밤에 베일이 바다에 내리기 시작했다, roughly translates into night's veil began to descend on the sea, which is an absolutely beautiful image. And even if you don't know Korean, you can hear the rhythm and alliteration of B sounds in 밤에 베일이 바다에, which is so beautiful. But at the same time, Park mentions that he wanted this play to be educational to the Korean public. And some of the dialogues that he added are inevitably a bit didactic and expository. However, I think they add a very vital context about the Palestinian struggle, especially for a Korean audience unfamiliar with the issue.
Exactly. And so I actually wanted to bring in some of the more didactic exposition. So, for example, in some of the early dialogue between Said and Safiya, Said explains some of the geopolitical context for this issue, right? So discussing why Arab nations are not supporting Palestine more or why the U.S. is supporting Israel. And he also discusses in a later passage how Jewish people have historically been persecuted and how that was used as rationale for the establishment of a state in Palestine, but then goes on to explain that they weren't persecuted by Palestinians, which is why it doesn't make sense for them to occupy Palestinian land. And then later, when Said and Sophia are speaking with Miriam, the Polish woman who now is living in their house in Haifa, mm-hmm. He says to her, "This is not your homeland. Our people have lived here for 2,000 years." So all of these are examples of additions in the play, added for context for the Korean audience. Mm-hmm. And I think this is fascinating because it shows how translation is not merely an act of simply moving languages, and adaptation is not simply moving between mediums, but mm-hmm. there are things that change in that process.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some other interesting choices that Park Hyo-sun's adaptation makes. So if you remember the original novella, it features only four main characters in speaking roles. So Said, Safiya, Miriam, and Khaldun, or Dove. We learn through Said's dialogue that Said and Safiya have one other son, Khalid. And we also learn that Khalid wants to join the Palestinian Fedayeen, which leads to an argument with his parents who basically forbid Khalid from becoming a resistance fighter. But if you look at the Korean adaptation, Park Hyo-sun actually puts Khalid on stage. We mm-hmm. get to see Khalid argue with his father Said about joining the guerrilla resistance army. And what's even more interesting is that Park writes Khalid as a poet. Mm. I want to read a part of Khalid's dialogue.
팔레스티나는 우리를 버리지 않았어요. 이스라엘 침략자들이 우리 땅을 빼앗고 우리를 추방한 겁니다. 산들, 바위들, 푸른 평야, 오렌지 나무. 팔레스티나는 우리를 기다리고 있어요. 돌아오기를 고대하고 있습니다. 전 이제 시를 쓰지 않기로 했습니다. 시를 쓰느니 차라리 침묵을 택하겠어요. 목격자에겐 거리가 필요하지만 피해자에게 필요한 건 아니지요. 신후 이룩되지 않은 욕망이니까요. 어머니, 아버지, 전 우리 팔레스티나 사람 한 사람 한 사람이 한편의 시라고 생각합니다.
So in this excerpt, Khalid says he no longer wants to write poems anymore, but at the same time, he mentions that, quote, "I believe each and every Palestinian is a poem," unquote.
That's beautiful. And that actually reminds me of what Marwan Makhul said, quote, "In order for me to write poetry that isn't political, I must listen to the birds. And in order to hear the birds, the warplanes must be silent."
Yeah, right. Poetry is never apolitical, and this also reminds me of Mahbub Darwish's quote, "All beautiful poetry is an act of resistance." So Park mentions how he read a lot of Palestinian poets while he was writing the play, and I think we definitely see echoes of that mm-hmm. in his adaptation of Khalid here. Mm-hmm. And even though Khalid says he's quitting poetry, I don't think the play presents poetry and resistance as antithetical. And I don't think he'll actually quit writing poetry, to be honest. When Korea was under Japanese colonial rule and during the dictatorship in the 80s, many Korean poets were resistance fighters and activists. And when the Japanese colonizers banned the use of Korean, writing poetry in Korean itself was an act of resistance. Mm-hmm. So I think the last line gestures toward how Palestinians just persisting, speaking in Arabic, and continuing the tradition itself is poetry and resistance, which is why I really love this excerpt. Mm-hmm. Hannah, I know you recently reread the English translation, and is there anything that stood out to you in the theater adaptation of it?
Yes, I wanted to read one of the parts that will be more recognizable to people who've read the original work.
당신은 조국이 뭔지 알고 있어, 소피아? 이봐요, 소피아. 조국이라는 것은 말이야, 이 따위 모든 일이 절대 일어나면 안 되는 곳이라고. 난 참다운 팔레스티나를 찾고 있는 거야. 당신과 나는 추억의 먼지 아래 매몰된 조국을 찾는데 지나지 않았어. 조국이 과거라고만 간주했을 때 우리는 잘못을 저질렀어. 그러나 할리드에겐 조국이란 미래야. 그래서 할리드는 무기를 들려고 했던 거야. 우리처럼 패배의 밑바닥에서 낭망의 눈물이나 흘리는 사람들은 할리드와 같은 조국을 찾기 위해 싸우는 힘을 가로막을 수는 없어. 그들은 오직 미래만을 보고 있어. 도우프는 우리들의 치욕이야. 그러나 할리드는 아직도 우리들에게 남겨진 자랑이요. 처음부터 난 당신에게 우리는 여기 오지 말아야 한다고 말하지 않았소? 여길 오려면 싸워야 하지 않겠느냐고. 할리드는 그것을 우리보다 먼저 알고 있었던 거요. 자, 갑시다, 소피아.
In this passage, Said asks Sophia, what is the motherland? And answers that the motherland is a place where none of this would ever happen. And he says that for Khalid, even though he's never lived in Palestine himself, the motherland is something worth taking up arms for. So in essence, Palestine represents the past for him and Sophia, while it represents the future for Khalid.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it, or Jane brought it up earlier, but with this choice of Park to flesh out Khalid's character, I wanted to note that in how Khalid's character is fleshed out is not just to represent the future, but also hope. And I think this also really creates more tension between the two opposing sides represented by Khalid and Khaldun or Dov, which leads me to, again, think of the Korean War, people from the same land, or quote-unquote brothers forced to fight against each other. And perhaps that was another way for Park to engage the Korean audience and present this war in Palestine. Yeah. What did, and I wonder if any of you had any other further thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with what you just said. What I love about the play is that Park is really good at highlighting these parallels between Korea and Palestine, and I'm sure there are many other audience members who also see echoes of the Korean War and Japanese occupation in the Palestinian struggle. I think this makes it easier for Korean audiences to sympathize and empathize with the Palestinian cause, which is a major point of this play.
And it's remarkable how much we can still resonate with this in the present day, actually. Just a few days ago, during a U.S. ROK joint military drill, bombs were accidentally dropped on South Korean city Pochon, leading to many injuries and homes being destroyed. And of course, since the 80s, we've had protests in Korea against U.S. military bases and U.S. military bases in Korea. So obviously, I want to point out that Korea's present-day situation is very different from that of Palestine's, but what we do have in common is enmeshment with U.S. imperialism. So our solidarity with Palestine and Korea is not just, you know, coming from this vague support for a distant country, but it's rooted in a mutual struggle against U.S. imperialism.
Right, yeah. I think that's a great place to end our discussion. And if any of you are interested in reading the full play, you can find it in Volume 1 of Park Hyo-sun Jeonjip, The Complete Works of Park Hyo-sun, published by Yeonggukhwa Ingan. You can also see photo documentations of the play and rehearsal on the internet through the Gwangju Minjung Photo Archive.
Yeah, and we actually also made a post about this on the KCAP Instagram in English, and you can also find the link there, which might be easier for some of you. So with that, our links, our social links, our KCAP can be found on Instagram, KCA Palestine, and
yes, and Films for Freedom Instagram handle is Films for Freedom, no spaces, nothing, and then BDS Korea is PPS_KOR.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
감사합니다.
감사합니다. 감사합니다.